Good morning, and thanks for joining us once again online for our online version of the service. It was great last week to have a number of folk actually here in the church with me as we had a live service also last Sunday. And if you were at all able to join us, we still have some space for people to come along. So do feel free to book into that. Just get in touch with me through the church and we'll sort that out for you. Well, I want to begin this morning with a psalm, Psalm 30, a psalm of hope and restoration in God. So Psalm 30. I will exalt you, Lord, for you lifted me out of the depths and did not let my enemies gloat over me. Lord my God, I called to you for help and you healed me. You, Lord, brought me up from the realm of the dead. You spared me from going down to the pit. Sing the praises of the Lord, you his faithful people. Praise his holy name. Next Sunday we're going to think about why we sing at all. What is it in us that makes us want to sing? Who should our praises be directed at? I know at the moment we're in a difficult situation where we can't sing in church, but hopefully that's only for a few more weeks. So we're going to take a look at why we sing. Sing the praises of the Lord, you his faithful people. Praise his holy name. For his anger lasts only for a moment, but his favour lasts a lifetime. Weeping may stay for the night, but rejoicing comes in the morning. When I felt secure, I said, I shall never be shaken. Lord, when you favoured me, you made my royal mountain stand firm. But when you hid your face, I was dismayed. To you, Lord, I called. To the Lord, I cried for mercy. What is gained if I am silenced, if I go down to the pit? Will the dust praise you? Will it proclaim your faithfulness? Hear, Lord, and be merciful to me. Lord, be my help. You turn my wailing into dancing. You remove my sackcloth and clothe me with joy, that my heart may sing your praises and not be silent. Lord my God, I will praise you forever. Well, let's pray as we come to worship God this morning. Lord, we ask your help once again, as in a sense we're still divided as a fellowship of your people, between those who are going to be here live this morning in church and those that still feel that they want to use the online service. And that's absolutely fine. But Lord, we do look forward to that day when we can all be gathered together and that we can unite in singing your praises. Lord, we thank you for the movement in the right direction in our nation, so that the numbers are low, that people are gaining confidence, and that hopefully, Lord, we can resume full services here before long. But Lord, we do particularly remember those countries where things are incredibly difficult just now. We think of India, we think of Turkey, we think of other nations across the world that are still in the grip of this pandemic. Father, we pray for the rollout of the vaccines across the nations, that we might not be selfish in this, but that people from across the nations would receive that hope of the vaccine. But even more than that, Lord, we want people to receive the good news of Jesus Christ, because he ultimately is the answer to our world's need. Not a vaccine, but a total forgiveness of sin, a new life, a new hope in the person of Jesus. So help us now as we come to worship you, whether we have to worship you in silence in church, or whether we can open our voices at home and praise you. Lord, just receive the glory from our hearts in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks, Ian. As we look today at the glorious future we have in Christ, our future joy and the hope it brings, we turn to our first song. We pray that the music would flood our souls and that we would be able to worship in spirit and truth today as we raise our voices and sing from our sofas, the bath, our office desks or our kitchen tables, to join in the song with the angels round the throne, singing hallelujah, glory to the Lamb.
Join the song of
Lord Jesus, as we gather round your word today, may we be brave enough to be vulnerable before you and to open up our hearts fully. Would you meet with us and reveal yourself to us just as we need, we pray. May we hold on to the promises we hear in your word, that they might bring comfort, joy, strength and hope throughout our lives, until the day that we will meet you face to face and live in your glory forever.
For the day of freedom and liberation for
Well, just before we start, a reminder that next Sunday is our communion as well in the service. So if you can prepare bread and wine for that, if you're a committed believer and you want to partake in that. Now, there's an old chorus that was written in 1975 that I remember singing as a teenager in the late 70s and early 80s. It was a time when a lot of new choruses were flooding our churches. Some people liked it, others preferred the old traditional hymns. I suppose, in a sense, that's the way of things, isn't it? That music changes across the generations and people like it or not. Now it said this, "You shall go out with joy and be led forth with peace. And the mountains and the hills shall break forth before you. There will be shouts of joy, and the trees in the field shall clap their hands." Shall clap their hands. "And the trees of the field shall clap their hands, and the trees of the field shall clap their hands, and the trees of the field shall clap their hands, and you'll go out with joy." I wasn't quite brave enough to sing it, and actually I wanted not to ruin your morning, so that's the chorus anyway. And I find myself asking the question, did I really understand what I was singing? After all, it creates quite an unusual picture, doesn't it, in our minds. You shall go out with joy. Who is this girl, Joy, that I'm supposed to be going out with? How will mountains and hills break forth before me? And how will the trees of the field clap their hands? What on earth does this mean? It's closed down now, but when our children were small, we used to go into mother care on occasions. That's quite a while ago now. In mother care, of course, they had not a clapping tree, but a speaking tree. But this idea of a tree clapping its hands, where does this come from? What can it possibly mean? What is the context? What does it have to teach us? Well, for the answer to that, we're going to need to turn for a final time to Isaiah 55. And we're going to consider verses 12 and 13 today. But let's read the whole thing one last time so that we get the overall picture. Isaiah chapter 55. "Come, all you who are thirsty, come to the waters, and you who have no money, come, buy and eat. Come, buy wine and milk without money and without cost. Why spend money on what is not bread and your labour on what does not satisfy? Listen, listen to me and eat what is good, and you will delight in the richest of fare. Give ear and come to me, listen that you may live. I will make an everlasting covenant with you, my faithful love promised to David. See, I have made him a witness of the peoples, a ruler and commander of the peoples. Surely you will summon nations you know not, and nations you do not know will come running to you. Because of the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, for he is endowed with splendor. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake their ways, and the unrighteous their thoughts. Let them turn to the Lord, and he will have mercy on them, and to our God, for he will freely pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. As the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return to it without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater, so is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. Verse 12, you will go out with joy and be led forth in peace. And the mountains and hills will burst into song before you, and all the trees of the field will clap their hands. Instead of the thorn bush will grow the juniper, and instead of briars the myrtle will grow. This will be for the Lord's renown, for an everlasting sign that will endure forever. Clearly, the verses here, verse 12 and 13, speak of future days ahead. And this is very apt at a time when we're facing a still somewhat uncertain future. You will go out with joy and be led forth in peace. And the mountains and the hills are going to burst into song before you. How nice it would be, wouldn't it, to burst into song. Let's take the first word of these verses this morning. You will go out with joy. Who then is the you that we're talking about? Who is going to be full of joy and peace? Well, it's the same person spoken of in verse 1, the person who comes to the Lord for water because they are thirsty, the person who receives water, milk, wine, and bread to satisfy their souls. It's the person of verse 6. It is the person who seeks the Lord while he may be found, who calls on him while he is near. It is the you of verse 7. Who forsakes their ways and their unrighteous thoughts. It is the person who turns to the Lord for mercy and pardon. And so, in other words, the you of verse 12 is the person who has come to trust in the promises of God, who has a restored relationship with God. And so I must ask this morning, is this you, you? Have you responded to God's great invitation to become a believer, a follower of him through the Lord Jesus Christ? If that is what has happened, then the you of verse 12 applies to you. God, I believe, wants to offer you a very bright future indeed. But before we look at that future in more detail, how can we be certain 2,600 years on that this you of verse 12 applies to you and not just to the Jewish people that Isaiah was originally writing to all those years ago? Isn't it just the Jews who can lay claim to these promises for their nation? Well, let me show you a few things from the Bible here. Romans chapter 2, verse 28 and 29. Romans 2, verse 28 and 29. A person is not a Jew who is one only outwardly, nor is circumcision merely outward and physical. No, a person is a Jew who is one inwardly, and circumcision is circumcision of the heart by the Spirit, not by the written code. Such a person's praise is not from other people, but from God. And then Galatians. Galatians chapter 3 and verse 29. Galatians 3 and verse 29. If you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed. In other words, you're the one who inherits all the benefits of connection to the faith of Abraham. And you are heirs according to the promise. So you see, anyone, whether they're a strict Jew or whether they're a Gentile, can be engrafted into God's family and be part of these promises. What makes you an heir of the promise then? It is whether you have faith in God, whether you have come into that living relationship with Him, whether you live by faith as Abraham did. And just in case you're not convinced, let me turn you to Revelation chapter 22 and verses 12 to 17. Revelation 22, verse 12 to 17. Look, I am coming soon. My reward is with me, and I will give to each person according to what they have done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. Blessed are those who wash their robes, that they may have the right to the tree of life and may go through the gates into the city. Outside are the dogs, those who practice magic arts, the sexually immoral, the murderers, the idolaters, and everyone who loves and practices falsehood. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to give you this testimony for the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David and the bright morning star. The Spirit and the bride say, come, and let the one who hears come. Come, let the one who is thirsty come, and let the one who wishes to take the free gift of the water of life. Surely here in Revelation is that same great invitation that we find in Isaiah 55. But in this context, it's for everyone in the world who will come to Jesus for forgiveness and a new life. I believe that there are people who are attending our church, that there are people who are listening online today who still need to come, who still need to be included. Perhaps you have tried to put aside the teaching you have had in Christianity. Perhaps you're tempted to live as the world lives, to lay aside the Christian morals, to live without that thought of God. But to be honest, you've found no satisfaction in the world. You long for a deeper meaning and significance, and that only comes as we accept Jesus Christ and as we submit our lives to God day by day. Come to Jesus today, or if you stray from Him, come back to Jesus today. I plead with you, before we leave this chapter, before the window of opportunity is shut, come to Jesus, and He will never let you down. And only by coming can you be part of these promises of verses 12 and 13. So moving on now to consider these verses, to look for an explanation. What do they mean? And when is this going to happen? When will we go out with joy? When will the mountains and hills break forth into singing? When will the trees clap their hands? I think verse 13 actually gives us the clue how to answer these questions. Instead of the thorn bush will grow the juniper, and instead of briars the myrtle will grow. This will be for the Lord's renown, for an everlasting sign that will endure forever. When the first man and woman sinned, we read in Genesis 3 that a curse came on all of God's creation. And part of that curse was that man would have to labour for his living, and that his labour, his toil, his hard work would be frustrated by thorns and briars. If we look back to Genesis 3, verse 17 and 18, it says there, To Adam, God said, because you listened to your wife and ate from the tree about which I commanded you, you must not eat of it, cursed is the ground because of you. Through painful toil, you will eat of it all the days of your life. It will produce thorns and thistles for you, and you will eat the plants of the field by the sweat of your brow. You will eat your food until you return to the ground. So I believe that the perfect world that God created was ruined. It was corrupted by that sin. And it has gone on being corrupted with climatic disorder, natural disasters, as well as the curse of being continually polluted by mankind. But Isaiah 55 verse 13 says, instead of the thorn bush will grow the pine tree, instead of the briars, the myrtle will grow. In other words, the very curse on creation caused by sin is one day going to be lifted. And in place of these things that so cause us to struggle and to have to labour hard every day by the sweat of our brow to earn a living, all of this will be replaced by beauty, and it will be an everlasting sign for the Lord's renown, for the Lord's glory. So when is this going to happen? Well, clearly when Jesus Christ returns to earth a second time and establishes the kingdom of God on the earth in perfection. I believe that Isaiah is already seeing way back millennium before that this curse is going to be lifted. Would you turn to Isaiah chapter 11 and verses 6 to 9. Isaiah 11 and verses 6 to 9. Where we read this. The wolf will live with the lamb, and the leopard will lie down with the goat, and the calf and the lion and the yearling together, and a little child will lead them. The cow will feed with the bear, the young will lie down together, and the lion will eat straw like the ox. The infant will play near the cobra's den, and the young child will put his hand into the viper's nest. They will neither harm nor destroy on all my holy mountain, for the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the Lord, as the waters cover the sea. Again, you see the transformation happening here in the world order, in this theology of a restored earth. And remember, Jesus, in his Sermon on the Mount, said in the Beatitudes, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. And look where those verses in Isaiah 11 follow on from. Just go back there a moment. Isaiah 11. If we start at the beginning of that chapter, we read this. A shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse. From the line of Jesse, we know that King David came from the line of Jesse. From his roots a branch will bear fruit. The Spirit of the Lord will rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of the knowledge and fear of the Lord, and he will delight in the fear of the Lord. He will not be judged by what he sees with his eyes, or decide by what he hears with his eyes, but with righteousness he will judge the needy. With justice he will give decisions for the poor of the earth. He will strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, with the breath of his lips he will slay with the wicked. Righteousness will be his belt, and faithfulness the sash round his waist. Who is that speaking of? but the Lord Jesus Christ himself, from the root and the line of Jesse and David. Have you ever wondered why Jesus wore a crown of thorns on the cross? Yes, because the Romans forced it down on his head in a sort of mocking frenzy, didn't they? But actually, was this not a graphic way of God saying to us, Jesus is carrying the curse, the curse of the thorn and the briar? Is it not saying to us that one day you will be able to sit in peace and safety with no thorns in the flesh anymore, with the pain of this present earth taken away? You see, there is coming a day when all pain and bloodshed and hostility and tragedy will be over. And Revelation 21 describes it like this. Revelation 21 from verse 4. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. No more war, no more tsunamis, no earthquakes, no famines, no floods. One day, and perhaps sooner than we think, the Son of Man is going to return with power and glory, and the dead in Christ will be raised to new bodies, as 1 Thessalonians describes, and the righteous will shine in the kingdom of their Father. So these last two verses of Isaiah have tremendous relevance for you, but only if you have given your life over to Jesus Christ. Only if you have forsaken your own way to follow God. What kind of future is God planning for you? That you shall go out with joy and be led forth with peace. Christians can have some joy now, can't we? The joy of knowing our sins forgiven, the joy of knowing that Jesus has a purpose for our lives here and now, the joy that one day things are going to be made perfect, even though we're going through a struggle just now. But at the moment we live, don't we, with a mixed bag, I suppose, of joy and pain in this world. And we still struggle with sin, don't we? But you shall go out with joy. You will be taken to complete joy when this age is over. And God is planning peace for you. Perfect peace will reign in this new world order. What men strive to achieve will be perfectly achieved by the returning Christ, and we will live in and enjoy that peace. You will be led forth in peace, led by your great leader and commander, Jesus. That's the true peace. Do you want to be a part of it? Surely there are many things in our world that we would want to be led out of. War, terrorism, hatred, theft, arson, rape, murder, slander, discord, coronavirus. But of course, there are some things in the world we would be happy to retain. The true beauty of God's creation, the trees, the rivers, the glories of His majesty. These we wouldn't want to lose. And to me, these verses make clear that we will see a fully restored creation, how things used to be before sin came into the world. It will be as though the whole of creation is bursting into song, and that the trees are clapping their figurative hands with rejoicing. That's what it means. I mean that they've really got hands, but it's just that the whole creation will shout out, as it were, in joy to its Creator God. All nature will work together for the blessing of those who love God. The Apostle Paul clearly certainly believed in the restoration of creation. If you think all this is Old Testament, well, listen to Paul in Romans chapter 8. We're nearly at an end. Romans chapter 8 from verse 18. Romans 8 and verse 18. I consider, says Paul, that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. For the creation waits in eager expectation for the children of God to be revealed. For the creation was subjected to frustration, not by its own choice, but by the will of the one who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be liberated from its bondage to decay and brought into the freedom and glory of the children of God. We know that the whole creation has been groaning in the pains of childbirth right up to the present time. Not only so, but we ourselves, who are the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly as we eagerly await our adoption to sonship, the redemption of our bodies. For in this hope we were saved. But hope that is seen is no hope at all. Who hopes for what they have already? But if we hope for what we do not yet have, we wait for it patiently. God is planning for you to be happy forever, to live in peace forever. He is planning a wonderful restoration of his creation for you to enjoy forever. How I plead with you this morning, come to Christ. I don't want you to miss out on being the you who will know all this. And this is what the Lord wants. He wants this for his eternal glory. He wants you to be a part of it with him. But you must come, and you must admit your need, and you must bow the knee to him in your life. Will you do that? I pray that God will have spoken to you through this incredible chapter in the book of Isaiah, and that every one of us, whether we're gathered in the church building this morning or whether we're listening online, will have the joy of having entered into that through Jesus Christ and have that glory and hope ahead of us. Amen.
We have heard this morning of the future joy waiting for all who believe in Christ as their Lord and Saviour. Because we are human, we fall short of his perfection. But as we heard last week, Jesus bridged the gap between us and God in order that the future joy we have heard about this morning can be available for all of us, giving us a hope that stands the test of time, that lifts our eyes beyond the grave to that day when we behold his face. And so we sing, when sufferings cease and sorrows die, joy unspeakable will flood my soul, for I am truly home. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for the promise of that future joy.
Drives on. is a moment.